like, I feel like life got blown into your face again or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It definitely makes you feel, especially when you're in places such as big as Yosemite, it really humbles you, and it really makes you feel like you're just a speck in this world,
really,
you know? Does.
Back in Latinx Nation, I'm your host Sal, along with my amazing co-host. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Carla, what's up, y'all?
What's up? We have coffee in the situation.
I know.
You know how this episode will go.
Yeah, Sal's not drinking.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But I'm glad that you guys are all back. We're trying out this new system where we're going to be posting every other week. So hopefully you guys will enjoy this episode as much as we will. This is going to be an awesome topic, and we already started a really good conversation, so we're going to keep it going as soon as possible. We have one quick shout out, if Carly, you can do that.
Yeah, for sure. So Dahlia's Coffee, they work with El Cielito Cafe in Southgate. They work with a couple other coffee shops that I'm not quite like familiar with, but we're soon to having them on an episode here or there, so we'll definitely have to ask them, like, where's your coffee from? Where is your coffee? Where can we find it?
Right.
How can we make it? You know, all the questions that you guys want to know. So, Dahlia's Coffee, look them up. They are bomb. They are Nicaragua? They're from Nicaragua?
Ooh.
I could be very wrong. I think it's from Nicaragua.
Yeah?
If that's wrong, please forgive me. Yeah. But, so Dahlia's Coffee, look them up. They sell their coffee at Cielito Cafe. We've had Danny from El Cielito Cafe on the episode before, so go support your locals.
Oh yeah,
always shouting that out for sure.
We got a great guest today. We're gonna be talking about some really cool stuff, all natural stuff.
Yes.
And we're also gonna be talking.
Or maybe
about
that should be the name of the episode.
All natural.
All natural.
For sure, I'm down. Okay.
Toss it in the
box.
In the box.
Let's see what comes out.
Or we'll ask our guests what they
think. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. We'll see what happens. But if you can go ahead, please introduce yourself. Just say your name and just where you're from, what you do.
Sure. What's up, everyone? My name is Philip, also known as Mr. Ends of the Earth.
Nice.
What
okay.
A cool name, though.
Nice.
I'm Mr. Ends of the Earth. This is, you will find me whenever you're lost.
Maybe that should be the name. Oh, God.
Dude, okay, so that's cool. So what do you do, Philip?
What do I do? I do
everything, because he's from the end of
the he's everywhere.
Well, I guess I'll narrow it down. What do I do lately? What have I been doing lately is I've been running a pop-up shop residence inside Wolf's Brew Coffee Shop here in Long Beach. And we launched in July, and we've been open 7 days a week ever since.
That's so cool. I give people props that do that, because we're barely seeing how hard that is just for Carla, like, to get, like, some kind of pop-up for coffee going.
Yeah, and it ties back to what we were talking about earlier. I think having that community really is one of the biggest keys. You know,
for sure.
Because that community is bringing your network, is bringing your people that eventually will provide a space, like you yourself, right? And definitely, like, community is such a big thing in that part, because it's pushing your passion, and it's giving you, like, what they have in their availability.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that was really cool. So tell us about your pop-up shop. Like, what is it that you guys have in there?
I'll go back to day one when it first started. So I was born on Earth Day. Which is April 22nd.
Nice.
And
in 2018, on my birthday, every year I like to celebrate my birthday / Earth Day by disconnecting somewhere in the wilderness. I'll book a cabin and invite, like, my closest friends, and we'll just kind of disconnect and hang out in nature, do a lot of hikes and activities. That year, we were in Washington, near Seattle, in the mountains, and on the last day of that trip, I woke up, which was my birthday, and I thought to myself, I want to do just something different. I want to do some kind of, like, special project. I'm gonna just throw it out there in the universe. I don't know what it is, but I wanted to dedicate it to Earth. I wanted to be inspired by my travels and my love for nature. Just something, maybe a brand. I don't know. I was just filtering through all these ideas at like 6 a.m. when I woke up. My friend Alex woke up and sat next to me on the couch and was like, "What are you thinking of?" And I was like, "I don't know. I feel like I want to create a brand or something." And he was like, "Let me help. And I'm gonna design your logo right now."
Oh,
and it kind of just like, it just kind of organically happened. And he was just playing with things. He was asking me like, you know, what are you inspired by? I know you like nature. Like, let's put some nature elements in this. And then just, anyway, long story short, he created this makeshift logo. And that kind of like started the path into what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I can't specify one thing that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to bring all these elements of nature and share it with others, whether it's through my photography work, whether it's through like a home fragrance or like some kind of plant-based product, something, you know.
Yeah.
And I started making things and learning how to make things and gather different vendors, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do a pop-up shop.
Yeah.
And I launched my trial pop-up shop in my house.
Mm.
A couple months later that summer.
Okay.
So August 2018. I launched a trial pop-up shop in my house for friends and family.
That's awesome, though.
And then 2 months later, I opened my official like pop-up shop to the public on 4th Street at a space that I rented out for the weekend.
Wow.
And so, I would just have these random kind of like spontaneous pop-up shop weekends where it would just be set up the night before, shop the next day, and then take it down later that night.
Oh,
just
wow.
Quick, like, you know, pop-ups.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to 2019, I stopped doing that for a while. I wanted to focus on photography.
Okay.
And then it just kind of led me back to wanting to do some or continue what I started in 2018. And the opportunity came here in Wolfsbrew.
Yeah.
I was presenting my photography work in their gallery, former gallery room.
Oh yeah, because this used to be like a coffee shop slash art gallery.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they would host different artists and have rotating shows, which was really cool. And I was a part of their first photography show.
Yeah.
In 2019, February to March, and then they brought me back earlier this year, and then COVID hit. And so it was kind of a bummer to have that
right
in the middle of COVID, but eventually they wanted to turn it into a shop and brought me back for that project.
Yeah.
So this is my third time working with them, and I'm just super grateful.
That's so cool. Like, how did the opportunity even come up, like, to have it here? Oh, by the way, we're outside of Wolfsbrew. It's a really good coffee shop.
Yes. Yeah, so shout out to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Wolfsbrew is amazing. It's, this place is amazing.
Yeah.
Community driven, for sure.
For sure.
What was the question?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Going back.
Totally cut you off.
That's okay.
I forgot the question, too.
Good coffee gets you.
I know. I'm like, I'm wired. I'm wired. Yeah, I needed it, though, for sure.
Well, the question was, how did this opportunity of, like, having your shop inside of Wolfsbrew?
Yeah. So I had my photography show up. It opened in February, and 2 weeks later, COVID hit, which was a bummer, because the good thing was they weren't asked to close down. They were just asked to not have guests inside, take it to go. But I couldn't necessarily promote to my family and friends like, hey, get out of the safety of your home and come check out my show. During that time when COVID first hit, it was kind of like everyone was like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. I'm
confused.
Yeah. It was just chaotic. So Briar, the owner, you know, was nice enough to keep my show up past the deadline of, like, they were planning to take it down April 12th, and then they kept it up till June. June, they approached me and basically said, hey, Philip, you know, we're going to take down the gallery now, but we want to transform the gallery room into a shop space and want to pair you up with Lonnie de Abode, who is my shop partner, and we feel that you two are going to mesh really well and bring your love for nature, into this space and share it with our community. Yeah. Right now, people are in, you know, quarantine.
Yeah, he's in
steel. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to hit your head.
Recording. Sorry.
Oh, no,
you're good.
I did not even
see that.
By the way,
this is the owner right here, Brian.
This is the owner right here. We'll have him on an episode soon here.
I hope so.
I did not even realize this. No, so sorry,
do
guys.
Your thing. It's all
good. We were talking about you anyway.
Nice. Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks.
Yeah, so we got paired up. I met Ray, the owner of Botany DeBode, and we just instantly clicked. She, at the time, during maybe through the months of March, April, May, she was popping up here. She had her own pop-up of just plants, like on the shelf, on the, you know, on the counter here.
Right.
And then, Breyer just approached both of us in June and was like, "Hey, you guys want to have like a residency in our former gallery room?"
Yeah.
And just turn that into a shop. And we both said yes, and the rest is history, pretty much.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
But the months of June and July, it was all about just, you know, revamping that space.
Yeah.
The walls were different colors back then.
Yeah.
The floor was not wood. So it was a really big project.
Yeah.
The whole Wolfsbrew team just did such a great job just setting it up for us as a blank canvas.
Wow.
And they basically said, "All right, it's a new space, now do your thing."
Yeah.
And they trusted us just 100% with our vision. And now it is what it is.
Yeah. I think it blends really well. I came to their shop shortly after they had opened, I think.
Yeah.
Because I had just recently moved out here.
Okay.
And, I mean, they have a beautiful shop in general. And so, like, now what you guys have done overall, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think it fits really well. Because it's like, when I think about coffee, I think about taking a breather. Even though it's going to get me all jittery.
Yeah. It's so
it's
weird,
like,
right?
I know, but it's like, to me, as a coffee nerd, as somebody that, like, you know, just pursues coffee, like, nonstop, it's like my meditation. It's like my spiritual, thing.
For sure.
And so then, like, having nature and, like, right there next to you. Like, when you see, like, I love that there's plants all over the shop.
I know.
It just,
that's
like,
so
adds
comforting.
a liveliness to it, you know? And it's true, right? It's like, I remember taking a sustainability class and it talking about, like, even the architecture in, like, Japan and, like, a lot of these hospitals where they have, like, just greenery in the hospitals because it's really like bringing liveliness to our like our spirit, our souls. So
it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important. Yeah,
especially like now.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, I've been noticing in the places that I really enjoy going to, like for example, Wolfsbrew.
Yeah.
There's plants everywhere.
Yeah.
And like there's that pattern where like if there's plants or there's like all this stuff like, that just represents the green.
Yeah. Well, and especially like living here in a city. Like living in LA, in LA County, it's like, you know, it's hard to get away. It's hard to get away if you don't put time into it.
For sure.
You know, like Utah, I mean, you open your door and you have a mountain right in front of your face. Like that was my backyard, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't really fully know what I was going to be missing till like a year after. And I'm like, oh shoot, okay. Like, don't get me wrong, I love seeing the skyscrapers and like the busy lifestyle, like the hustle mentality.
Yeah.
But it's nice to kind of step down and
for sure.
Let me go take a breather about some plants here and there, you know?
Like, even me, like, the most that I've ever had of mountains was, like, after it rained here. After it rains, the sky clears up and, like, there's not that much smog. And you can see the mountains out in the distance.
Oh, you're talking about the beginning of the pandemic?
Yes.
Where everything was clearing up?
It was all clearing up. It was getting nice. And then you can see the mountains far away. And I'm like, whoa, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then I saw like the majesty of it all when I went to Utah like earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they were just huge, but they're like they're in your face though. It's not only that they're like they're big and they're right there. No, they're in your face.
Yeah. When I took Dwayne, my boyfriend, he was like, "It looks like a picture. It looks like almost fake." And I'm like, "Yeah, it really does." Like,
it's crazy.
Like I've been gone for a year. Wow, it really does. And it's
a nice escape because my escapes back then were Kansas, and there's no mountains there.
Yeah.
It's flat.
Yeah.
It's flat. But it's nice because you get like a full night sky.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing blocking you.
Yeah, you actually see stars.
You see so many stars.
Yeah. So that's Yeah.
So that's cool. So you've been, you were telling me like when I first met you that you traveled around other places. Like Utah was one of them. What other places have you been to that really made an impact?
The travel bug bit me really hard, I want to say in 2012.
Okay.
I went to Puerto Rico and I celebrated New Year's Eve there. So 2012 going to 2013. And I think after that trip, I was like, I need to travel more. It made me realize that have not really traveled outside of the States as much, at least. And so that kind of was an early, you know, eye-opening experience. And then after that trip, I was highly involved with the couch surfing community.
Okay.
And so I was acting as a couch surfer host, and I would host international travelers at my house who were, you know, people from Europe, from Australia, from Asia, from everywhere, all around the world, were passing through LA and just looking for a couch to crash on. And I would offer my place. And it's a hospitality network. The benefit of that is you're meeting people from different cultures, and you're just exchanging, you know, your experiences with each other. And you're just learning so much about each other and where you're from.
And I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. It was definitely a big thing. And it had been around for a while. And the reason why I discovered it was my friend, during that time, was like, I just quit my job. I'm going to go travel the world for a year and couch surf. And I was like, what? Like that idea to me was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, where are you going to stay? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to couch surf. Here's the website. Go check it out. And so I made an account, and I acted as a host, not as a surfer yet. Yeah. But for like four years straight, I was hosting travelers. They inspired me to like, okay, travel. Like, I think I want to travel now.
Yeah.
I want to explore their countries. Mm-hmm. And it came full circle because when I started going international to different places out of the country, I reconnected with my couch surfer travelers, and they hosted me back.
That's cool.
So I went to Europe. I stayed there for 2 months. I lived in Australia for 2.5 months or so, New Zealand, and I reconnected with a lot of my couch surfer friends.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So those trips were really impactful experiences,
yeah.
Especially Australia, I have to say. Australia 2014 really changed my life.
Yeah.
I backpacked in the outback for a week, in the Australian outback. Yeah, and it was just like,
how was that?
It was life changing. Like I said, pretty magical to be in the outback, but also just to learn about how nature had evolved to look like what it did.
Yeah,
with all the canyons and rocks over there. It was just such a surreal experience.
Yeah.
And so that really reignited my love for nature even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to share this experience with others. I need to, and honestly, it was really hard to explain it in words, how impactful travel and spending time in nature really meant to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something I couldn't really, put together in words.
Yeah.
And so I had to, I'm like, you know what, let me just show you. So I would bring my friends slowly and take them on hikes and just take them on camping trips and go backpacking and, you know, live in the mountains for like a weekend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they came, you know, it's like, and then they get it. They're like, oh, wow, okay, I see why you're so passionate about this.
Yeah.
How it's so invigorating and you come back refreshed and like re-inspired.
Yeah.
Especially for us, for those of us who live in a city or in the suburbs or whatnot, I think that is one of the best like disconnects or ways that you can really re-inspire and reinvigorate your soul visually and just stimulate all your senses. So it might not be for everyone, but for sure it's like my number one jam for sure that I consistently have had that, you know, it's always been consistent.
That's so cool.
I mean, it really does like change your perspective in so many ways. Like, when we just went to Yosemite for the very first time.
One of my favorite places.
Oh, my goodness. We went in June, end of May.
Uh-huh.
And my boyfriend's never been camping. Like, he's born and raised in Belize and lived here for a little bit, then moved to New York, and then lived here again. And so he's never been camping, and I remember just going and, like, he loved it, you know, but not up until actually 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We went on a date night, and he's like, you know, something I've learned from you is loving nature. And I'm like, really? He's like, because I told him, I'm like, I never really thought you just like cared for nature, like you were just like go go go. He's like, no, like it makes me crave it.
Yeah.
Like he's like, since we went to Yosemite, like it makes me like crave wanting to see green. And so it's like, it is something that it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, look, this is what nature feels like. I can't give you a definition of it, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's, you really just have to experience it for yourself. And yeah, maybe it's not for everybody.
That's
but
true.
It's like, but yeah, Yosemite like changed his life. So.
Oh, but when it is though, when you really learn that you're a nature person, it's like your life shifts.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely, yeah, it's a powerful shift.
Yeah.
Once you kind of absorb everything and let it absorb you in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest kick that I get out of it is taking family and friends to those places that I really enjoy, and then just watching their reaction.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
having them experience and feel that childlike wonder,
mm-hmm.
kind of like what I would go through my first times visiting
yeah.
someplace
yeah.
special. So.
Yeah.
Sharing it with others for sure.
It's definitely
it's
rewarding.
Magical.
It's
yeah.
Yeah, it
yeah
really
it's a rewarding experience.
Like even when we're driving to Utah, like
mm-hmm.
last weekend we went to Utah. We took two separate cars because it was a group of our family members. And in my car it was my boyfriend, myself, and like his brother in the back seat. And his brother, again, he's never been out like in nature like that. He travels too, like, well, before COVID, he was traveling a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you need to go to Utah with us. And he was driving at a certain point from like here to Vegas, and I told him like, all right, we're switching cars, like switching drivers, like I'll drive. He's like, why? Like, I'm good to drive. I'm like, no, I need you to look at this canyon we're about to go through. And it's like, I think it's right after Mesquite, and
oh,
it's
yeah.
like in Arizona. And I'm
oh,
like,
oh, the little Arizona
yeah, I'm
corner.
Like,
that
I'm like
go
you just
through?
Have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to look at this like canyon. It is magical. And I drove all the way into like Logan, and I'm like, just look at these mountains. And he's like, you could just hear him in the back, like. Like, I could not even hear him. Like, I could just already, like, sense him just kind of going, like,
huh.
Where are we? Like, what is this? But,
yeah.
yeah, having that is, like, such a reward.
Yeah.
It's, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like life got blown into your face again or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It definitely makes you feel, especially when you're in places such as big as Yosemite, it really humbles you, and it really makes you feel like you're just a speck in this world,
really
you know?
Does.
You
really
kind of are just like, wow.
Especially when you enter, like you exit that tunnel
yeah,
and you see
the tunnel
view.
Uh-huh.
You're like, I'm nothing. Like, this is,
yeah.
like, did I just die and like come into heaven? Because it is so beautiful. It is
crazy.
Probably one of my favorite national parks.
Oh, yeah. Yosemite is like one of my top three for sure.
Yeah.
That was my first national park I visited when I moved here from the Philippines.
Okay.
So it holds very special place in my heart.
Okay.
And it was my first national park as a kid, and then I didn't visit it or revisit it until I was an adult.
Okay.
So maybe like 20 years later down the line, I
yeah.
went back.
See you guys. Yeah.
I had a good ride.
Yeah.
And when I visited, that's when I started the tradition of celebrating Earth Day somewhere in the wild, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Yosemite was like my first choice, like, okay, I want to make
like,
it.
Let's do it.
Let's
yeah.
go, let me go back there. It's been 20 plus years since I've been
yeah.
here, and oh man.
Yeah.
I try to go there at least like twice, a couple times a year.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just.
We went right as they opened, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we went like probably the week. So they opened like that weekend, like I think it was like June 11th or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we went like a couple days after,
okay.
and everything just looked so new. There was like so many bears, like so many bears, and we saw like
yeah.
like cubs around too. We're like, nah.
Cub,
like I'm stepping away before Mama Bear comes behind me. Like,
for
yeah,
real.
But it's just yeah, Yosemite's. Like I recommend it to anybody and everybody. And we stayed out actually because the campgrounds were closed. We stayed out like a little bit outside of the park, maybe 30 minutes out, and we found a campsite that was like. Honestly, it was so luxurious to camping there. Like, I usually camp, like, backpacking. I have all my food and water in my backpack. Like,
yeah.
that's the camping I do. And so this camping was, like, it had showers. It was connected to a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little small hotel. And so we had a pool, like, available to
okay.
us. So I'm like,
kind of like glamping.
Well,
yeah.
So I'm like, all right, this is cool.
That's a good opportunity to kind of, like, slowly introduce that
and
to
that,
people who
yeah.
might... be like, oh, I don't know about camping yet. You know,
yeah.
That's a good, you know,
yeah.
good balance.
Yeah, so it was a good balance. Even though I failed as, like, a camping tour guide because I forgot the s'mores. And I,
oh, no.
no.
Never forget the s'mores.
I forgot the s'mores. It was so bad. We we took one jug of water and like I think two packs of like beer. I'm like, how do I not bring water? Like, why didn't I bring water? Like, this is not okay. So we had to go buy water. We had to go. I was really unprepared. I guess I was just so excited to like show him, you know,
probably,
nature.
Probably.
Yeah, I was so excited about it, but. Yeah.
So all those places that I visited or experienced, whether it's national parks or new cities or just a different country, I take all of those memories and experiences, and that's when I was like, I want to create something out of those experiences.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's when I started picking up my camera more, and then I learned how to make candles, and I wanted to create scents that brought me back to those places.
Yeah.
And so that's what Ends of the Earth is kind of made up of. It's
okay.
It's a reflection of my experiences through travel and through the wilderness.
Okay.
And everything that I carry in there or represent is like a direct connection to one of my experiences, whether it's discovering a loose leaf tea in Portland, Oregon, or smelling the just the mysteriousness of the desert of Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
I try to take that and kind of just
connecting that nostalgic moment to that sense. Yeah.
Whether it's through all the senses really.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
And also with a combination of representing brands and artists that I believe in, that I
mm-hmm.
have experienced with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't just pick something or someone to represent because I think it looks pretty.
Yeah.
I have to make sure that, you know,
it's deeper.
It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
It's so it takes a lot of time that, you know, I give major props to people who run their own shop or curate it. And because I know it a lot of those things make up that factor of choosing how you want your store to look like and what you want to carry and represent.
Yeah.
That's a personal thing.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, connecting like the nostalgia to it, I think that's like, it goes such a powerful like way.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a strong thing. Because we're so used to seeing, touching, and like experiencing, hearing. It's like smelling.
Yeah.
Smelling is like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that sense. Yeah. The sense of smell can be really, really powerful.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you smell something, it could take you instantly back to that memory.
Yeah.
You know, or that someone.
Yep.
Or that event, whether it was bad or good.
Yeah.
It just is so powerful, and I wanted to capture that somehow
yeah.
through certain things in there.
It's definitely a powerful thing. So you said you were born, you're from the Philippines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep. How old were you when you got here?
I moved here twice, actually. So I first moved here when I was 4.
Okay.
And then I moved back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back again to California when I was 7.
Oh, okay.
And then I've been here ever since.
Have you gone back and visited? Or?
I haven't. I'm way overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm way overdue.
I'm super, super long overdue. We're going to make it happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, soon, hopefully, sooner than later. But a lot of my, what's the good thing is that a lot of my family on my mom's side
mm-hmm.
lives over there, but they've been able to visit a lot
okay.
in the last couple of years.
Okay.
And maybe in the last 10 years or so, a lot of them have started to come and visit,
that's
which
good.
Is nice. It's always exciting to show them, you know, where
yeah.
we're from and the States and taking some of my favorite places.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
awesome. My sister is like in love with the Philippines. Like she went a few years back, like probably 5 years ago to Manila.
Uh-huh.
She went for like.
Oh, you lived in Manila?
Yeah. That's where I was born.
Okay. Yeah, she went for like a church service project for like a few weeks, and man, she loved it. She's like, she dreams about it every single freaking day, and I'm like, and she always shows me pictures, and I'm like, I want to go, and then I can only imagine like it being just breathtaking and everything. Oh.
It was.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very still fresh in my head too, even
mm-hmm.
though I was. Some of those things just stay with you, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, I know we were early talking about this, but I really liked what you were talking about, like your mental health and how this has helped it, and your community really just like feeds into that. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about
that. Yeah, so when the whole pandemic first hit in March, I'm sure the first couple months were extremely rough for everyone.
Yeah.
And I know for me, it was it was just this big uncertainty that made it very stressful, and also just being stripped of some of my favorite things that brought me joy. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I wasn't able to travel anymore. I wasn't able to see family for a while, to see my friends, and so to have all of that taken away instantly, it was like almost like wow, very eye opening, very humbling, and I know everyone, you know, was dealing with it in some way of hardship, and so during that time, you know, I like to say I have a really strong creative side, but as soon as, you know, COVID hit, it was just out the window.
Yeah.
I was instantly uninspired, and I couldn't even think about anything creative.
Yeah.
And so, and also I was saying that it cut right through my photography show, like 2 weeks into it. And so I was so hyped in preparing this show, and then, you know, wanting, you know, all my friends from out of town were planning to visit, and then, you know, COVID hit, and it was kind of like, oh, just kidding.
Yeah.
even though Wolf's Brew was, you know, nice enough to keep it up, I was saying earlier that I wasn't in a position to really promote the show, or felt comfortable in properly promoting it, and saying, hey, get out of the comfort and safety of your home and go see my gallery, you know?
Yeah.
But when I had my show here last year, I was here every weekend bringing guests and just meeting up with friends, and it just was a night and day difference this year.
That is so crazy how that happened just in a short time span of like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where like everything just changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that does affect you. That affected me for sure.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like doing anything for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And then like thankfully I had these guys. They were just like, all right, let's do another episode. I'm like, let's do another episode. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's
all
I gotta hear.
Yeah. I think it affected everybody differently.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah. Sure.
I mean, you know, everybody goes through their experiences, and yeah, it definitely, like, your mental health. Like, I was just telling him earlier that it was just hard going from, like, meeting people for interviews every single, like, week and being able to drive to L.A. We were volunteering in conferences. Like, we were doing, like, cool
stuff. It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of, like, that was our thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that connects it to our community. That's how we connected with a lot of our people. Like, we were going to these, like, pop-up shows where people were just pop-ups after pop-ups, and it's just like a festival of it, you know, and of like our Latin roots, and then that stopped completely, and I'm like, how do we meet people?
Yeah, now what do we do?
Like, how do I find content? Like, and I'm like, gosh, I have to be on Instagram, and it's like, but then it's like, even taking like a social media like break, it's like, okay, how do I take a social media break and still find content? Like, it's so hard.
That's
super
hard.
It's like, how do you balance those two things? And I think it affected a lot of us, just like, and it made me realize like our mental health is so important. Like, how can we still use these tools we've created to like feed into like our mental health?
For sure.
You know, and I mean, come look at plants.
Community for sure is like a really big draw for me in terms of just feeling like fulfilled or alive in some aspect is being connected to my communities. And I think this opportunity of, you know, having a residency inside Wolf's Brew has brought me back to that community aspect again. I was mentioning earlier that I think one of the best parts, hands down, or one of the best things that has happened out of this shop is the opportunity that I've had to reconnect and reunite with friends that I haven't seen in a while. You know, word is getting around about the shop space, and so they want to come and visit, and then it allows me to properly catch up with them, spend some quality time, and also, you know, obviously show them the space. But I was saying too that it works out for all three groups that are in there. Wolf's Brew, Ends of the Earth, Botany Dead Road, we all have our different communities, and now we're all interacting. Wolf's Brew community, coffee community is now, you know, is coming in and they're seeing the shop. And then my community is coming in. They're trying Wolf's Brew for the first time. So it kind of just, it's like a nice flow of.
Yeah, it's a nice mixture.
Of support, love, and energy and good vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because that's how I met you. We just got coffee and I just went to the back like, what's this?
Honestly, and I love being in this space and just hanging out whenever I get a chance to, and just meeting people that I haven't met in a while. I've met such amazing, incredible, talented people through this space.
Yeah.
It just attracts good people.
Yeah, it really does.
And I'm just grateful to be part of the Wolf Screw family.
Yeah.
Again, this is my third time working with Briar and the team, and so I'm super just grateful that they asked me to be part of this project.
Yeah, for sure.
And that they trusted, because this is not like a temporary show where it's like a 2 month run.
Yeah.
This is 7 days a week, you know.
Like it's your office.
Yeah.
It's your office, yet your display to to the community.
It's it's a nice way to share an extension of yourself and what you're passionate about through what's in there. You know?
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you have any future goals that you like want to pursue towards this or towards any other personal, like hopefully once COVID is over or at least we know how to work around it?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like once, you know, the coast is super extra clear or I would love to host events, you know, like workshops and I love gathering community. So if COVID wasn't existing at the time, I would have had like a proper opening night launch and gather people and have music and, you know, serve food or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thing. I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We did that for every photography show that we launched in here.
Mm-hmm.
So just basically events,
community
events.
Okay.
And collaborations. I love collaborating with people.
Yeah.
Whether it's through a podcast or whether it's through collaborating with another artist or maker and representing their brand in there. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I think it just helps build each other support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important with that community is just to really just support each other, especially during these times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our bread and butter right there. Just collaboration and events. That's the best. That's awesome.
Yeah. You never know who you're going to be inspired by or inspire, and it just one thing can lead to another, you know?
That's why we do what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why.
There's such a beauty in that.
There is, right? Yeah. And especially, you know, when it happens, like, organically and just...
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I ended up here, is just through building that relationship with Wolf Screw.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that's really cool.
I think that's, like, such a genuine, like, key point to carry. And honestly, like, I always share it with everybody and almost everything. And even on, like, my essay, like, I have to write a biography... a portfolio, like a digital portfolio, and I'm over here writing about the podcast and like how we like really that's what we stand for, you know, being inspired by like as much as we're over here like letting your story be heard. Like I probably almost every single episode, I don't think there's ever been an episode I haven't gone home to where I'm like, I'm inspired to go conquer the world right now. You know?
Exactly.
Or I'm inspired to pursue my passion or my hobbies or whatever it is. Like like, I mean, you started in your house, like, just to friends and family. Like, to that, it's like, well, then what's stopping me? Like,
I know, all of a sudden. Right?
Tomorrow, I'm, like, opening something up.
Hey, you never know, seriously, if not
but
now, then when.
Yeah, so it's just, like, just having that sense of inspiration, like, go both ways. It's not necessarily, like, we leave this table and it's like, all right, you're welcome. No, it's not even about that. It's like, thank you know, because it's like, we leave just as inspired as, like, you leave inspired as I hope as well, you know?
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, for sure. 100%.
But yeah, community is such a key point, and when you, and I was just telling you this earlier, it's like when you lose that, it just feels really dry.
Oh, yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's like, okay.
I definitely felt that feeling when, so one of the communities that I was deeply involved in for a really long part of my life was dance.
Okay.
So I was part of the Southern California dance community. I was competed. Mm-hmm. I danced professionally for 11 years.
Wow.
And then I directed my own dance company.
That is intense.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that
for a really long time. And I retired from professional dance in 2017.
Quote, unquote, retired.
Yeah, retired from performing professionally in 2017 to just pursue other creative outlets.
Yeah.
And that's when I started spending or dedicating more time to traveling in nature and just kind of like figuring myself out and seeing what else I could do out there.
Yeah.
And when I left that dance, you never really leave dance, honestly.
Yeah.
Dance never leaves you. But when I left that company, we were such a tight-knit community, family group that, you know, once you're out of it, you're just, it's not the same, you know, it's not...
Yeah.
It's not the same connection. You lose touch with people. And so I had to kind of mentally prepare myself like a year in advance before that day that I officially left.
Yeah.
For that moment.
Yeah.
And so, and I think I did a good job preparing myself.
Yeah.
Because I've managed to still stay in touch and connected with those, with that
community. It's calibrating yourself. It's like really just calibrating yourself in, in like the sense of I'm leaving this company or this organization or this community in general.
Yeah.
But I doesn't mean I want to leave those people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And like, how do I, how can I not leave those people, but still leave that area?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's really decalibrating and decalibrating it or decalibrating and calibrating yourself to adjust to that is really hard.
Yeah.
It's definitely a hard like transition, but it's totally doable.
It's totally doable. And then once you find different ways and opportunities to bring these people back into your life or still stay connected somehow, whether it's through events or pop-up shops or galleries, those were kind of my new outlets of like, hey, like I'm having an event, come. And 100% they would like come out and support.
That's awesome.
So it's been nice to stay connected through that way.
Yeah.
And also still support them, obviously, these days. So.
Yeah. And the nice thing about when you're, as you're getting older and older, you know, right? I've noticed this in myself. It's a lot of these friendships that are relationships that I've created and I've received or given like throughout the years. It's like we can go months without seeing each other, years sometimes, and then we'll see each other. It's like, how are you? How is life? Unlike when you're younger, it's like, oh, they're not, they don't talk to me. They're pretty much out of my life.
Or I know, all of a sudden.
Like all of a sudden or something like that. But it's like now, as I've gotten older, I've noticed where it's like, I can go months without seeing my LA friends and then I see them and I'm like, and I feel like, it feels like nothing has ever changed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we were still in the same like
coffee
shop, drinking a coffee together, you know, a year ago. So it's it's definitely a transition that's like, I feel like it's healthy for us to go through those transitions.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. Now that you bring that up, it reminds me. I have this, like, I guess this, an adventure family.
Okay.
Adventure group where
that's awesome.
Just a really close group of friends that I've kind of just, we've kind of just formed the last few years.
Yeah.
And it's a group that we're, our common ground is our love for adventure, travel, nature.
Yeah.
And amongst other things, but that's our main like interests.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend a lot of time traveling, doing cabin trips, backpacking, camping, you name it, hiking. And we just, a lot of us haven't seen each other in a while because of the current situation, but we're getting ready to see each other again for just a much deserved weekend of camping in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that, to reunite with that specific group.
Where are you guys going camping?
Well, we're going to go to either Sequoia National Forest.
Did they open up again? Because I know they were down for the wildfires.
Right, yeah. This specific area, yeah, they're reopened.
Okay.
Okay.
Or somewhere along the Highway 395 in Alabama Hills. We're scoping out a camping area that's BLM land.
Okay.
So Bureau of Land Management land is basically free public land to camp on.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, you don't have to reserve, you don't have to pay. It's just, you know, a little more primitive.
Yeah.
There might not be running water, there might obviously be no toilet. Yeah. But I mean, if you're prepared for that, then it's a beautiful space to be in. And so we're scoping out some places that we've already had experiences with just to rally our group safely and like, you know, nice distance from everyone. So yeah, I'm really excited.
That's awesome.
It's just been so long, you know. Just thinking about it, it's like, I can't wait.
Well, we're excited to see pictures hear about it for sure. So, cool. Well, I don't have any more questions. I don't know if you have questions.
I just have one more question. Yeah. Throughout this crazy process of like you just starting off just couch surfing to doing focusing on photography, so now you have your own pop up shop that's like semi permanent, just going doing this thing, like. What were some of your fears throughout this whole process? Because even though it seems like a lot, like what was something that was like, okay, I gotta get through this in order for me to actually do what I want to do. Like what popped up? Because I feel like that's something that comes up a lot when you're trying to like do something new.
Yeah.
You're like, what are those fears that came into your head?
Oh yeah.
And how did you conquer them?
That's such a good question.
That is a really good question.
I love the best for last, guys.
Oh man, sometimes I just really like to look fear in the face and just be like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're going down.
That's so cool.
Because, I mean, honestly, me maybe 20 years ago wouldn't have thought the same, but me now, I think I accept that initial energy of fear. I let it take over my body, and then I absorb it, and I think about it, and I reflect on it, and I'm like, you know what, this is doable. You know, why am I feeling like this? I kind of like go through this list in my head.
I analyze it quickly,
and or sometimes not quickly, but just I take my own time, and you know, into really absorbing that feeling.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, it just works out.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but specifically for the shop, you know, to that question, my initial fear was, I can't believe I'm about to launch a pop-up shop residency in the middle of this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, like, who am I? That, you know, that was the initial, like, kind of thought, like, process. Like, is this even, you know, possible? Like, can I do this right now?
Yeah.
Am I mentally there to be able to do this? Mm-hmm. And honestly, at that time, I just looked at it as, this is, will be a great opportunity for me to reconnect with my people, my community, that I have just been so absent from for the last couple of months, you know. It will help me go back into my creative side, which I've just let go at that time. So I knew right away it would be beneficial for my mental health.
Yeah.
And that's where it always like led me back to. So I took that fear and I used it as fuel to know that it would be good for my mental health, and it was.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
You know, it just and it kind of helped the process go by a lot smoother, if that makes sense.
Yeah. More genuine, I'm sure. Like, it flowed.
It flowed. It flowed organically. Even though I knew, like, okay, there's a billion things on my list that I have to do to make this happen. I have to make sure that I have to put this vision in my head and put it, bring it to life. You know, I know that this is not a temporary weekend pop-up where I can set up and then take it down. This is going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
So I need to make sure that it's properly represent, a proper representation of, you know, my myself and, like, my vision and my story. And also working with my shop partner and Wolf's Brew to make sure that flows smoothly. It was just a lot of collaborations and working with a carpenter and... It was vendors, you know, to bring in. So it was a lot of communication, but it kept me busy. It kept me focused. It kept me out of the gutter, and it just brought back my mental health.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That's so dope.
I like that.
So I'm just, again, genuinely just super grateful for Wolf's Brew for bringing me back in, for giving me that opportunity, and for my community to for the support.
The support.
And all the new faces that I met through this space, including yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just good people. You know, it's been nothing but good vibes and good energy in there. And that's obviously something that makes me want to maintain that and to continue it. Yeah, that's what it's been all about, really.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah, it's just like finding that flow, you know, your passion. And it just, if it's meant to be, it's just going to really be just a ride.
Yeah.
A good one. A cruise.
For
cruise,
sure.
Cruise, for sure. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Phyllis. I really appreciate it. You know, hopefully we can have your other team with us, you know, your group of community here, and just like connect them on the podcast. We'd love to like share everybody's story and then as well learn from it. And because that last question really kind of hit home for a little bit. So, you know, like really
facing,
in a good way. Like how do I face fear? You know, how do I face fear? So it's like, I love to hear those kind of questions, like, really, you know, because those are questions you don't really think about sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's really about realizing what is on the other side of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you. And everyone's is different, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's journey is different, obviously.
For sure.
But when you find what works for you,
and
you just, then it kind of makes that process a little bit easier.
Exactly.
For sure. Because how you look at fear and how I look at fear is very different. Mm-hmm. Where I confront fear, but I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But that's a very therapeutic and like very conscious way of looking at fear. Like, hey, I'm gonna accept it for what it is, and I'm just gonna continue forward. And
I cried through the whole thing.
You know, I've been in all those positions. Trust me. I've been there.
Yeah. It's like I'm moving to California, just crying through the whole thing as soon as I make the decision. But no, yeah, it's definitely every journey is different, every experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome though. So thank you for sharing your journey, your story, and we're excited to stay tuned and with you and like see what you're doing and see how you're what you're up to and good luck on your camping trip. Have fun.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I'll report back.
Yes. Yes. Go charge your stones. Go meditate. Go receive some fire in
for
you.
For sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. Sure. Well, thank you for being on the show. This was a great episode.
Thank you.
Yes.
And hopefully we get your partner in here and just get it going.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome
for
too.
For sure. For sure. So.
But I hope we found the name for the episode by this time.
Community. I mean, I feel like that's like a strong suit.
Yeah, it was.
It's a really strong suit.
Hell yeah.
But
that community energy.
Yeah. Community energy.
Keep it flowing. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So thank you, Philip. If you have any questions ever or need help or anything or whatever, you know, just let us know.
Or even if you have any last minute questions now for us.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you both. What inspires you both to keep this channel going?
Huh, that's a good question, actually.
You put it at me because I'm gonna.
Well, let's just put it over here. What inspires me, really, at least from my standpoint, is I love getting to know people, and like, I guess from my background, I like to see what I haven't experienced yet, because I feel like as a kid I experienced a lot dramatically and consistently.
Yeah.
And as I got older, it started to relax, and I started to get like an outside perspective of what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And then I want to know new things. I want to know like new experiences. Like I want to be a student of the planet, you know?
Yeah.
Or a student of the world, whatever sounds nicer.
Yeah.
And yeah, awesome. This is, I'm just curious. I like to know.
Curiosity. You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Mine's like learning just nonstop. I think that's what inspired me the first part about it, you know? Like, I had a YouTube channel before, and I wasn't really good at, like, the camera, like, seeing my face on there, or, like, it was weird. It was hard for me to get used to it.
Right.
And so then, like, getting this started with Sal was very, like, I'm curious. Like, I have so many questions. Like, I grew up in such a conservative, small little town with very little diversity, and it was just, like, I always felt different in that community. Like, even though it was nature and it was beautiful, like, it made me feel very, like, out of place. And so coming here, it's, like, just learning about, like, my ancestral roots and, like, Mother Nature and, like, what is behind all this. Like, I'm so curious. I'll ask, like, I'll journal a lot and I'll journal, like, what does this even mean? And probably I sound, like, high or something, but, but it's, like, most of the time when I'm journaling, it's like I'm not, and it's like I'll ask these like questions where I'm like really intrigued to like learn more about, like, it doesn't even have to be about coffee, like what does it mean for you to like go camping, or what does it mean to like, how do you, as simple as like even how do you like your job, you know, as simple as that, or
right.
things like
and
that.
And that could create a big conversation just because people take their jobs very seriously, and it's like, well, how do you feel about it right
now? Yeah. So just like building that, you know, that platform, I think inspires me, because it's like I just knew one way of living, in a sense, living in Logan, and so creating something where it's like it's okay to talk about these things. Like you know, it's okay to learn about these things. It's there's no such thing as a stupid question, and it's like I think that's what inspires me every single time we like do these little interviews, because I'm like, all right, because usually I won't like sit here and just like make friends that quick. I'm very timid at first.
Oh, okay.
Like, so then this kind of gives me the confidence where it's like now I have to ask questions. So it's like, it just inspires me.
But even earlier, before we were officially on record and before the mic came, you were natural.
It's a copy.
We had a great conversation prior to that.
I know, right? It's a copy. Catch me before the copy.
And then last thing I always like to ask anyone and everyone, where is the next place that you would love to travel to once, you know, the coast is
clear?
Yeah. Whether that could be a road trip somewhere or flying somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to say immediately, I want to go, like, either to, like, camping anywhere because I've never been camping ever. Yeah. So I would want to just go that, even if we go before this thing is over, because we're isolated either way.
Okay.
That or just going either back Midwest, like maybe to Kansas or to Utah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because if we go back to Utah, it's cool, it's a great spot, and it's going to be snowing probably.
Yeah.
And then in Kansas, it'll be snowing too, but like I get to see my family. My other family can meet this family,
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
That gets me excited.
Awesome.
Yeah. But that's immediately what I would like to do. Yeah. And then eventually Mexico. I just want to go back to like where my family's from.
Nice.
I always want to travel back to Guatemala.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely one at the top of my head, we were just talking about this a few weeks back, is either like Alaska or Oregon.
Alaska sounds so good.
Yeah, because I like have a friend that's a train conductor up there. Mm-hmm. And right now they're just like obviously not running because of everything. Mm-hmm. But like we've been talking about it for years, and it just seems different. It just, I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, and then Oregon, I mean, I've heard so many good things where it's like the greenery, the...
Oregon is my like second home.
Yeah. And I've never been, you know, and it's like...
I'll tell you all the good spots.
Yes. Okay, I know to reach out to.
I made a Oregon travel guide for my friends who visit for the first time.
Okay.
So I'll be sure to give that PDF document.
Yes, please.
It literally
lists
all the trails, my favorite food spots.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Dude, you should sell that to like Apple. They're doing that now.
Really?
They're doing that now. Yeah. They're like, hey, here's some travel guides. Like, you know how they did a new update on like the phones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if you visit this place, here's a travel guide that you can check out.
Yeah, I have a lot.
Yeah,
so there you go. That'd be cool.
There you go. There you go.
That could be a separate income for you. Like, here you go.
I know, right? So yeah, those are probably like two of the places. I mean, if it's not Guatemala, you know, it's definitely. I don't know. I just like being back in Guatemala. There's so much. Sure. There's so much to it.
I gotta go to Guatemala. I gotta check that place out.
It's beautiful.
I don't know.
So if you ever go to Guatemala, now I have travel guides for you.
Oh,
there.
Okay. All right. For sure.
Yeah. So, but thank you. Thank you for those questions.
Yeah,
now I'm gonna go home and question
everything.
All right. good. But well, thank you. And like I said, if you ever need anything or have questions, let us know. So
come check out the shop.
Yes.
Cool. Yes.
Yes. We're
inside of Wolf's Brew here in Long Beach.
Yes. Cool. Well, va pues.
Vámonos.